This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. It's a Tuesday morning, and I don't know what's going on here, Carl. I've developed a bit of a frog this morning, and
why?
I don't know. I noticed it last night right before I went to bed, and woke up this morning, and hopefully a few hours of talking will wear this thing
force
out.
Force it out.
Whatever it is. Took a little medicine this morning, so I'm hoping that addresses
did you see
the issue.
Dr. Green?
I did not see Dr. Green yesterday.
Did you go outside?
Thank you for asking. I did get outside a little bit yesterday. It was beautiful. And I guess we're going to get some more of that today and then some rain at some point. Because you can't get weather like this in February without paying the price.
Well, I believe the beginning of the month was the price.
Maybe. But regardless, it's going to... we're going to get something... this afternoon, sorry, trying to sign onto my computer here as I walked into the studio late, as usual. I apologize for that. Kim St. Ange has the day off again today. She will be back with us tomorrow morning, and you won't just have to listen to Mark and Carl all morning. How about that?
I am working on Rumble right now.
Oh, are you?
I tried something different yesterday.
Yes.
It did not work.
Oh. I see. So we were not on Rumble yesterday?
No. We were on Rumble yesterday, and we will be on Rumble again shortly.
All right. Well, I tell you what,
We are on the YouTubes, the X, and the Face page.
All right. Well, we've got good stuff for you today. I got Adam Schnelting is going to join me a little later. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about with Adam. I want to talk about this big pharma bill that everybody's talking about that has passed the House, and now it's going to the Senate. Adam Schnelting is also, of course, working on that bathroom bill that would give school districts like, I'll just point out Francis Howell because they're the one that's been in the news for it the most lately, but Wentzville and others, it would sort of give districts the cover of state law to insist that boys use boys' bathrooms and girls use girls' bathrooms. And it would kind of get rid of this nonsense and this never-ending threat from these progressive leftist loonies that they're going to sue individual board members if they don't if they dare to try to set a bathroom policy. It's crazy, but that's kind of what the world we live in these days. So we'll get Adam on a little later to talk about that in the 8 o'clock hour. That should be. I need to find out more about it. So we'll find out where that stands and if it's going to go to a hearing. The Post has already tried to blow it out of proportion. So we'll see what happens there. We got Todd Pyro in the 7 o'clock hour. A little later today, we're going to talk about SAPA. Remember the Second Amendment Preservation Act? It was, of course, part of it was thrown out in the courts. And they're making another run at it. They're going to try to bring back in a different form, some of the portions that were thrown out of the court. And we're going to find out more details on that this morning at about 7:35 with Jared Taylor, with the Missouri Firearms Coalition. Former Senator John Lamping will be joining us this morning. That's at about 6:37. I'd love to get his thoughts on this farm bill issue, too. It's not really a farm bill. It is a bill that would provide immunity to big pharma for some of the chemicals that they put on your food. And they want to play it as if it's going to affect farmers, but it's not the farmers that would be sued. It would be the big pharma companies, and all they want is the immunity out of it. It sounds to me like. And we're running these ads here on the radio station, paid for by the people that want this bill to pass. I'm trying to figure out the other side of it. So we're going to get John Lamping on here this morning for you as well.
I have to give myself... We're on
nice.
Rumble. We are rumbling as we speak.
So you got it to work?
Yes. I don't know how. I just turned it off and turned it back on.
Hey, that always works.
It does.
For your phone, for your computer, all kinds of stuff tend to work better when you do that. Mayor Tashara Jones doing a little bit of media down the hall. Now, she won't come on this radio station, but she went down to visit our friends at KMOX yesterday.
Should have ambushed her.
I didn't know she was going to be here. Megan had her on down there, and I've borrowed a few bites from that this morning. So we will we'll get to all that and more for you coming up here soon. Carl, right now, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I am honored to announce my candidacy to serve as the next governor of the state of Ohio.
Yep, that's Vivek Ramaswamy. He promised he was going to run, or said he was going to run for governor of Ohio. He officially announced it yesterday, and he led off his campaign announcement with the fact that he wants to eliminate the state income tax and property taxes in the state of Ohio.
President Attorney General Bondi and now Director Akash Patel offered this role. I'm going to accept the role.
Yeah, how about that? Dan Bongino getting a little emotional yesterday in his final podcast, I guess, before, or at least his latest podcast, after announcing that he would accept the role as executive or assistant director to the FBI.
My show had value. And value. And in the end, I'm sorry, I try not to cry on TV. And I said, this is kind of like me on TV, so I apologize.
Well, I know you know the voice. That was... Joy Reid reacting yesterday on social media after being fired by MSNBC. I'm not heartless. Losing your job is never easy. But she learned absolutely nothing from it.
We have people that don't show up to work and nobody even knows if they work for the government. So by asking the question, tell us what you did this week, what he's doing is saying, are you actually working?
Yeah. It's a good question. Donald Trump's still out there defending the cuts by Doge and Elon Musk and saying, listen, if you work for the federal government, we need you to send us an email. And I think the deadline's already passed, telling us what you did last week. And then people complained and bitched about it so much that they've extended it. And some agencies have sent mixed messages. Well, you don't have to reply to that. And others said, well, we think you should reply voluntarily, and then we'll decide later what's going to happen. I got to tell you, this is really what we've needed in this country for far too long. Government needs to operate more like a business. The minute you start putting emotion into it, then you start to lose effectiveness. And, you know, Kevin O'Leary said this yesterday, that they need to cut more, that they need to cut deeper, because what we're looking at here is a generational opportunity to decrease the size of government. When you think about that for a minute. Now, of course, he's on Shark Tank and he's very successful and he's been a big supporter of Trump. But his point is a good one. This we may never get this opportunity again in my lifetime. I don't think we will. Even if Donald Trump is succeeded by J.D. Vance, I still don't think we're going to get this opportunity again in our lifetime. And if that means that we have to cut more faster, then we're going to have to do that. And it's going to be a little bit painful. But government has grown unrestricted for 240 years. There have been very few times in that period of time when government has actually shrunk. And that's going to require cutting budgets and laying people off. But it's necessary if this country is going to survive. We can't survive $36 trillion in debt. We just can't do it. It's just not sustainable. And the people at the top realize that, and they're going to have to get the naysayers who suckle at the teat of government to take a deep breath, because this is going to happen. And it may never happen again, but it's going to happen this time. I couldn't be happier about that. Carl, who's got our national anthem today?
Mark, there's a Blues game tonight, so that means two things. One, you get popcorn tomorrow.
Nice.
And two, Jeremy Boyer is going to get a text from his friends telling him that we're playing his anthem.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Always one of my favorite George Harrison songs, I have to say. He would be 82 if he was still with us today.
Yes.
The former Beatle.
Don't smoke, kids.
The former Beatle. Was it lung cancer that got him?
It was cancer. Yeah.
Cancer. I may not.
Don't smoke, kids.
Yeah, well, that's always a good idea. Anyway, no matter how you look at it. Hey, guess who decided it would finally be a good idea to do a little bit of media? And that would be Mayor Tishara Jones. And here's the thing about it, is that what you need to understand about Tishara Jones' entire administration is that nothing that's happened is her fault. Apparently, including Carl not being able to get out of his street for a week. his car out anyway. All of it boils down to this.
Job is a lot harder than people think. The mayor is not responsible for everything. You know, we have a tripartite form of government, which means that all.
Wait a minute, what? I'm just kidding. Go
money
ahead.
Spent have to be approved by myself, the comptroller, and the president of the Board of Aldermen. And there are other departments that I don't control at all. You know, we have six citywide other or countywide elected officials.
I'm going to let that hang out there. Whatever's going on is not the mayor's fault. And if she needs to travel to go to important conventions, even though she's the only person in charge, according to our form of government, then she just needs to travel. Apparently. I don't know. She ended up down the hall here yesterday at KMOX. I don't know what other media she's done locally. She's turned down every request we've ever made to try to get her on this radio station. I've never heard her on. Maybe she's been on with Reardon at some point. Not that I'm not on this station.
Not since she's been mayor.
Yeah. So I don't know what the – I don't know if you – if like Kamala Harris, you want to avoid tough questioning. Maybe. They done at KMOX, ask her some questions she should have had better answers to. Here was one of them.
Tell me what you've learned from your first term in office.
If I've learned anything in my first term in office is that people who haven't run anything think they can change everything.
It's a cute answer.
That's almost Kamala-like, isn't it? I just have to say, hats off to the Mark Reardon show who assembled that particular clip of her laughing over and over again. So I borrowed that from Reardon yesterday. I heard him play that. It's the nervous cackle after she says something that sounds so familiar to all of us who just went through a presidential campaign this past year. Yeah, she, Carl, she did address your street cleaning issue,
So
you know. I want you to know that because, of course, if you live in the city, some things haven't changed in 25 or 30 years, but everybody seems surprised by it. Hold on.
Delivery of city services, which you've kind of alluded to, has been a key issue in this race. What would you say to critics who are pointing to things like snow removal, trash removal, responsiveness of city departments as a reason to change leadership?
I would say that they should look at previous administrations because we've had these same problems in previous administrations, but somehow it's a problem under me.
You hear it? Did you hear the laugh again?
She's happy.
It's at the end of almost every one of her statements, like, ha ha ha. So they've all done it, but you're mad at me. Yeah, but it went on for 25 days. And sometimes policies need to be reconsidered. This one probably needed to be addressed a lot sooner than 20 days into the emergency when we suddenly decided, hey, maybe we'll go out and hire some people in smaller trucks who can at least assault the side streets and start to break up some of the ice. And that just didn't ever seem to dawn on anybody. Her other message is, whatever you're mad at, stop blaming me. Wait a minute. Hadn't she said that already?
What are we not talking about enough?
We are not talking about enough I think we talked about it already, that the mayor's not responsible for everything, right? And that I think we're not talking about enough that
we're not talking enough about the fact that the mayor is not responsible for half of the stuff you're mad at. How about the Rams settlement money? I didn't hear the whole interview. Maybe Megan brought it up. But, I mean, we have wasted away, are getting ready to piss away a huge windfall for the city of St. Louis. And they're gonna piss it away by giving it to constituents that they think will vote again for Tashar Jones, in my opinion. Now, I know the board couldn't agree on the final version of the bill before they took their break. But with all of this stuff, whether it's the Rams money or the money from the federal government for COVID that went to a whole lot of people who weren't affected by COVID, it seemed like a payoff. And none of it went to public safety, which the mayor also tried to somehow compare the crime rate in St. Louis to the crime rate in Kansas City per population. And arguing that there are more people killed in Kansas City than St. Louis. So why are we going to take away control of the police and put it back in state control? None of it made a very convincing argument as far as I'm concerned. I think she's in trouble in this election. But they run it like a prom king and queen. So I guess we'll see what happens with ranked choice voting and whether or not she can hang on to her seat. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk to our friend Griff Jenkins on what they're doing in D.C. on the border.
This is a real plan to send the savings that DOGE generates over the next couple of years right back into the pockets of hardworking Americans all across this country. They deserve it. It was their money in the first place, and they need a break.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, buddy. How are you? Thanks for giving us a minute this morning.
Hey, listen, a little bonus Monday morning, Griff Jenkins, as he shows up to work bright and early and ready to drink from the fire hose of news coming out of Washington. But we got a good story today. We're talking more about the border coming on the heels of Borders Are Tom Homan's tough talk at CPAC, the conservative conference here over the weekend. Tom Homan just laying in to the results and reality of what they've done and the battle that he's got now with sanctuary cities like Boston, saying he's going to bring hell to Massachusetts. But part of my focus pertinent to your soundbite you just played there is we're going to hit on the fact that, you know, CBP is now going to take over the USAID headquarters in the famous Ronald Reagan building here, not far from the White House on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Right.
And it's significant because it just shows, it's another sign of just the shift in priorities with this new administration. You know, President Trump, when he was on the campaign trail, made immigration and border crackdown his signature issue. And he's obviously delivered these results we see with crossings down over 90%. But yet the fact that you've now got a beefing up of CBP, taking over USAID, moving them out, is really showing not only can he deliver on a promise made, but he's delivering on a commitment to make sure that the border and the safety of the country that comes with an insecure border is not set aside.
Well, Griff, you know, I noticed that I haven't heard a single story yet since Donald Trump's been reelected and sworn into office about restricting or trying to limit money for a border wall. I mean, remember, that was all the focus before. You won't get a dime out of us. We're not going to let you build this wall. That's silly. And now it just seems to be accepted that it's going to happen.
Oh, you bet it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And you know, it's interesting, too. Again, going back to this, you know, one might see it as, you know, just a typical change of administration housekeeping with the CBP moving into the USAID headquarters. But, you know, DOGE, we're going to stay tuned later this week. I think it's Wednesday. I know that Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is the chairwoman of the subcommittee of the oversight committee, that is going to go in to expose and give us even more just how deep the foreign aid undermined U.S. interest. And, you know, it's from the drag shows in developing countries to male circumcision in Mozambique and all the other stuff. Apparently, we're just scratching the surface. So that's going to be something to keep your eye on, and we'll all be shocked by it. And you know, over the weekend, on Saturday, I got into a segment. I was anchoring Fox and Friends weekend, filling in, and Rachel Campos Duffy was talking about, you know, what DOGE has done, and not to get off topic here, but you remember too, Mark, and those of us old enough can remember, you know, one example of this outrageous USAID spending was something that the great Rush Limbaugh in the 90s would get his fingers on, yes. And he was the first to really rail on it. And you had Newt Gingrich, then, you know, Speaker of the House, try and do something about it, but yet the status quo of Washington won. And, you know, it's worth noting, at least from the chair where I sit looking back on it, it seems this administration has done more in 30 days than all of Washington, conservative Republicans included, not necessarily fault of theirs, but they're included, they've done more in 30 days than was done in 30 years.
Griff, I haven't heard a word you said since you said the word circumcision in Mozambique. I'm just kidding. That caught my attention. I'm like, wait a minute. I heard the one about the condoms to foreign countries and you know, LGBTQ comic books somewhere in South America. I had not heard the one about the fact that USAID tax dollars were funding circumcisions in Mozambique.
I've got to look it up because DOGE has been tweeting it out, but I tweeted it over the weekend. Literally, it was like several million for medical male circumcision in Mozambique. You can't make that stuff up.
How does that further U.S. interests? That should be the first question. And if you can't answer that, then the money shouldn't be spent.
It doesn't, right? I mean, that's the whole thing. And, you know, it's worth noting, too, that you know, when USAID was stood up, they were stood up to basically exert what we call soft power, the U.S. democracy, you know, way of life, to try and put it to other cultures, other places, particularly in places where we could have security threats and we want to, you know, put democracy in places like Iran and North Korea and whatnot. But medical male circumcision in Mozambique, I can't see any connection that furthers our U.S. interests.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. So what are the shockwaves up there? I know it's not the story you're covering this morning, but with Dan Bongino, did that catch everybody by surprise?
I will tell you, in full disclosure, I'm quite good friends with Dan Bongino. We worked together quite a lot when he was at Fox.
Okay.
And then he went on to have his great podcast, which I don't think he's going to be able to keep doing.
No.
But I texted him this morning and said, congratulations, brother. I know you're going to do a good job. Just want to tell you congrats. And he said, thank you. I'm ready to get to work.
Now, what's
that going to be? The deputy director is usually the day-to-day guy. And, you know, we've heard so much about deep state people entrenched in these agencies. And we know that if there are any people that have been held over in their positions who, for whatever reason, show up at work and clock in with a focus on undermining the current administration's agenda and goals, Dan Bongino is going to find them and root them out and send them packing.
Wow. I mean, I was shocked. I loved I played the bite from him from one of his last podcasts where he's still talking about wanting to find out more about what happened with the Steele dossier and Adam Schiff and who knew what and when did they know it. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I asked Hans von Spakovsky this morning from Heritage, legally, yep, can they do that? Is there a statute of limitations? He said, generally, there's a 5-year statute of limitations on a lot of these crimes. But if somebody lied to investigators, there's no statute on that. So he could go back and maybe find something.
Well, he could, and it certainly wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't try to. And, you know, we'll find out, and you can bet your bottom dollar there would be legal challenges to it based, yeah, on that very statute of limitations. But whether or not anyone is actually prosecuted, the American people still don't know exactly what happened. And they don't know what the truth is of all of it because it's never been fully laid out there.
No.
And this is an opportunity. You know, when Kash Patel, you know, goes sworn in, it's so significant that he said, look, we're going to be about transparency, accountability, and a return to the commitment to actual law enforcement, letting cops be cops. Bongino, by the way, just issued a statement to Fox moments ago saying, quote, I spent my life in public service, beginning with the NYPD and continuing through my time as a Secret Service agent working under both Republican and Democrat administrations. I've witnessed firsthand dedication, sacrifice of men and women in these agencies who serve with integrity and honor. This role is not about politics, he says. It's about professionalism, leadership, and accountability. So there's Bongino doubling down as well. And, you know, if whatever Bongino and Kash Patel end up doing, if it does restore the public trust in the nation's premier law enforcement agency, the FBI, then that will be a win for all Americans, regardless of your politics.
Very true, my friend. And I saw Pam Bondi say the other day that she had the Epstein list laying on her desk. I mean, you talk, yeah, about shockwaves. I hope she's got a good security detail, because if that ever comes out, I mean,
well,
it's... Go ahead.
I think it is. Yeah. I think much of it is. I mean, look, it wouldn't have gotten this far. And when I was anchoring, hosting with Rachel Campos Duffy, we played a clip back when she and Pete Hegseth and Will Cain were interviewing down at Mar-a-Lago Trump. And you know, Rachel Campos Duffy point blank asked Trump, will you release the JFK files? Yes. Will you release MLK? Yes. Will you release Epstein? And he said, yes. That one will take review because we don't want to impugn private citizens that are unnecessarily, you know, drawn into it. But I think by and large, we're going to see certainly a lot of it, if not all of it.
That's a great point. Griff, thanks for the extra time this week, my friend. We'll talk to you again on Thursday.
Buckle up, guys. Who knows what we'll be talking about on Thursday? It's only Monday morning. Get out of bed, and as Kilmeade says, get dressed.
Get dressed. Yes, sir. We'll talk soon, buddy. Thank you. Griff Jenkins there, live up in D.C. this morning. I was glad we were able to grab him. Yeah, can you imagine? Yeah, we don't want to impugn the reputation of regular citizens. We know what happened on that island. If you ever visited that island, your friends and neighbors should know who you are. I'm sorry. I don't know who we're trying to protect here, quite frankly. But I get it from a legal perspective, maybe.
My show had value. And that... I'm sorry. That, that what I was doing had value. and value. And in the end, I'm sorry, I try not to cry on TV. And I say, this is kind of like me on TV, so I apologize.
Yeah, Joy Reid yesterday went to social media after losing her job at MSNBC. And, you know, I'm clearly not a fan of Joy Reid. I think she's insane with a lot of what she pushes. But she went out and she did this podcast. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is a tough business. Radio, TV, commentary is a tough business. You are judged by your performance every day. And if you get a couple of, cycles where your ratings are not what your bosses think they should be, or you're not generating the revenue for your organization that they think your show should be in that time slot, you can be shown the door. Now, there can be a lot of other reasons you're shown the door, but that's the primary driver when you see changes in local TV or local radio. It's the ratings. Sometimes it's that somebody's making too much money. I kind of doubt that's why Reid got fired, but I could be wrong. I mean, she wasn't the prime host on that station for sure. I'm sure she was making a pretty penny. I feel her pain, because I know that for people in this industry, you're there today and sometimes you're gone tomorrow without a good explanation. But at the end of the day, nobody was listening to MSNBC. And they've got a new boss in there who was trying to shake things up and maybe rejuvenate them in some capacity. I don't know if it's possible. I don't. What I do know in listening to Joy's reaction to being fired is that even in being fired, she doesn't understand, I don't think, what drove people away from her show. Repeating the same inane nonsense that every day after day that Donald Trump is some sort of a tyrant and he's an oligarch and you're losing all of your rights, and if you're a trans person you need to go hide somewhere because he's coming to get you, and just day after day the lies were just awful. I heard her say on TV recently after the election that she was dumbfounded. I think it was election night. She was dumbfounded that Kamala Harris could have lost because she ran a flawless campaign. That was Joy Reid's analysis of the disaster that was Kamala Harris from start to finish. She thought her campaign was flawless. Do you know, she said, she got Queen Latifah to endorse her, and the Queen doesn't endorse anybody. Well, for all we know, the Queen likely got millions of dollars for endorsing her from the campaign where they went out and raised a record amount of money to try to get that woman elected, and the voters could see through it. They could hear the Kamala cackle, probably in their nightmares. This is what Joy Reid said as well. Listen to cut 7, please.
Spending books that people find inconvenient, you know, that Nicole Hannah Jones put into our spirit, that we need to understand 1619 as the real founding of this country, whether it's talking about any of these issues. And yes, whether it's talking about Gaza and the fact that we as the American people have a right to object, to have a right to object to little babies being bombed. And where I come down on that is I'm not sorry. I am not sorry that I stood up for those things.
Joy, what about the babies that were put in microwaves? What about the Jewish babies that were slaughtered and their parents? She still doesn't understand why people stopped listening to her show. And she continues to, you know, go on and on about the 1619 Project and BLM and how great it was as they were burning America. They don't get it, and they're making more cuts there. Carl, when are we out here? We out here 30? Okay, all right. I don't have enough time to go to. Rachel Maddow commented last night on the firing of Joy Reid, and I'll warn you in advance, play some Rachel Maddow for you in the next hour, so steel yourselves, because you have to prepare for that. It's like listening to a Kamala Harris bite. We'll get to all that and more, plus Senator John Lamping at about 6:30. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.